This week is known as Holy Week. It's a special time in the Christian's life where we reflect upon the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord. We remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead to be able to give us eternal life, to remember that we have victory over sin and death. And I know that we wish that we could gather together next Sunday and celebrate Easter and what Christ has done for us. While we won't be able to gather physically, we will again come together spiritually, and we will have another online service that will be special as we look at the resurrection of Jesus. But today we're going to look at the cross, and I hope that you have your Bibles and you'll turn with me in John chapter 19 and also Mark chapter 14 and 15. And we're going to look at three individuals today that were there for the crucifixion. And we're going to see the impact that Jesus had on them and the unconditional love that he offers. So if you join with me in John chapter 19, we'll begin by looking at verse 5. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." Then Pilate, therefore, heard, saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And then also, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, we'll look at verses 66 through 72. We read, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And when the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by him, 'This is one of them,' then he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man or whom you speak.' Second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he wept." And then finally this morning, I'd like for you to look in Mark chapter 15, verses 37 through 39. "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last breath, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Let us pray. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the message of the cross, that Jesus, you demonstrated your love for us, and I pray this morning that your Spirit would find hearts that are open to truly reflecting upon if we identify with any of the people that we're going to look at today. And Lord, my prayer is that if there's anyone here who does not know you, that today they would receive you, Jesus, as their Savior and Lord for the first time. And for the Christian, that we would choose to live in your unconditional love and be a service for your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you remember that feeling when you've been found out? I mean, you did something wrong. You've been trying to hide it. And then somebody finally confronts you about it. As many of you know, I have a cute little puppy named Ray. Love her a lot. But recently, she's been going into our yard and digging up old cat poo. We had a problem with cats when we didn't have a dog, and they invaded our yard and left little treasures. And Ray has been going and digging them up and bringing them to our side door and leaving them on the welcome mat. And so I had a little conversation with her and thought we had discussed this and understood that this wasn't the right thing to do. And later in the day, lo and behold, I catch her doing the same thing again. But this time I confronted her at the side door, and she cowered down knowing she was doing wrong. And she looked at me with those little puppy eyes asking for forgiveness and saying, "Daddy, I still love you." Well, you know, the truth is that as a kid, there were many times that I got in trouble, and my dad would have to discipline me, and my dad would confront me with the things that I did wrong. But every time he did, my dad was very good at being able to say, "Andy, even though you've disappointed me in making bad decisions, I want you to know that my love for you has not changed. I still love you." And you know, as a kid, we often find that. But as adults, it gets harder and harder to find. It's amazing, as parents, it's easy for us to give our kids unconditional love and forgiveness. But for some, it's harder to give to our children as they get older and make bad decisions. There's many children out there who are looking for the approval of their parents, and they don't have it, and they're hurt by it. There's others who are in their marriages, and marriages are falling apart because unconditional love and commitment are no longer given. We also see this in friendships, where unconditional love and forgiveness are not given, and those friendships are ending. And the good news today is there is a place where we can go where there truly is unconditional love, and that is in God. And it's demonstrated for us on the cross. And this is what Jesus comes and wants us to know today. And so as we look at three people who were there, a part of the crucifixion today, I want us to see the unconditional love that comes from Jesus. The first person we're going to look at is Pilate. We see that Pilate is the person who can't make a decision. He's the person who is indecisive. And you know, there's people out there who are a lot like Pilate. Pilate was a Roman governor. He was given in charge by Caesar to be over the Jerusalem area. And the Jews wanted to see Jesus killed, and they didn't have the authority to be able to do that. So they come to the Roman government and to come to Pilate and say, "Listen, we want you to take care of Jesus for us." And so Pilate interviews Jesus. He doesn't find anything wrong about him. But Pilate is torn. He realizes that Jesus is innocent and wants to do the right thing. But on the other hand, he wants to please the world. And so here's Pilate. Do I do the right thing and do what God would want me to do? Or do I please everybody else and please the crowd? So he tries to have Jesus beaten severely and mocked and ridiculed and brought back before the Jews. And this is where we pick up in the passage that we read, and the Jews see Jesus, but they look and they say, "Look, that's not enough. We want to see him crucified. We want him killed." And as Pilate goes back and interviews Jesus, he's even more convinced that he's innocent. And so he's even more afraid, and he's like, what do I do? Do I stand up for God, or do I give in to the world? And he doesn't want to make a decision. And you know, there's a lot of people like that today. There's a lot of people who are torn between standing up for God or choosing the way of the world. And there's many people out there who honestly don't hate God. They're okay with faith and family, but they also haven't decided to follow God because they still want to please the people of the world and they still enjoy the ways of the world. And so they're torn. And the problem is this, that Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And this is where Pilate ended up, because in the end, Pilate ended up sentencing Jesus to be killed. And when he did that, in another passage we read that Pilate took his hands and he washed them. And he says, listen, I am innocent of this, and I declare myself righteous. And there may be some of you who have even gone through religious deeds, religious ceremonies, and you declare yourself, I'm a good person, I'm okay. But the reality is you still have never made a decision to follow Christ. And because of that, the Bible still wants us to understand that even though you haven't made that decision to follow him, and you're still in your sin, that Jesus Christ still radically loves you. You know, we get a picture of this, and when Jesus is talking to Pilate in verse 11 in the passage we read, it says, you have no power at all against me unless it has been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Jesus tells Pilate, you're still in sin by not doing the right thing. And any time that we disobey God, we're in sin. And Jesus is just, and even though he radically loves all of us, if we are left in our sin, he is going to sentence us to hell. But he doesn't do that without a heart that is broken, that desires that we would repent. And he does everything for us to know that I love you and I'm willing to forgive you. And he says here, listen, there is one who has a greater sin, and that is the one who delivered me up to you. That was Judas. And Judas betrayed Christ and gave him over to the Romans and to the Jews to be sentenced. And what's interesting is that on the night of his death, when he's having the Lord's Supper, before that, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And he says, you're truly going to understand the thing that I am doing later on. And we understand it now more richly, that here Jesus washed the feet of his betrayer and demonstrated love even though he was going to be betrayed. And if Jesus can love his betrayer, then he also loves the one who isn't able to make the decision. And it's important for us to understand that if you're here today and you're torn, that Jesus understands he still loves you, and he wants you to make the decision today to be able to choose him and experience the gift and the hope and the love that he offers by going to the cross and dying for your sins. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to make a decision. It starts in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, verse 19. It reads, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God has set before us eternal life or damnation, heaven and hell. And there is one way, as we learned last week, to receive eternal life, and that is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so we have to receive Christ in order to be able to receive the forgiveness of our sins. We have to make a decision. You know, we read in the Old Testament again when Joshua was talking to Israel, and he says in verse 15 of chapter 24, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in which you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And today, I want you to think about this. Have you made a decision? And if you haven't, why haven't you? And for you to understand that if you haven't made a decision for God, I want you to understand that God still loves you. And that if you don't make a decision, you're making a decision against him, and you're still left in your sins, and one day you will face the penalty for that. But I want you to understand that there is a God who radically loves you, that sent his son to die for your sin and rose again from the dead. And today he's calling you to choose and put your trust in him. The second person I want us to look at today is Peter. Peter was also there, and we see that Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter told Jesus that he would always follow him, that he would always stand by him, that he would always be the one, while everybody else let him down, he would always be the one who would do the right thing. And you know, as Christians, we often approach with that attitude. But if you've lived the Christian life long enough, there's been times when you have let Jesus down. You've still continued to sin, and thus you've denied him. And I want you to understand that even though there's been times in your life as a Christian that you have sinned, Jesus still radically loves you. And that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for your sin before you received him, but he died and he covered all of your sin. He says, "It is finished." There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so Peter needed to learn that, listen, Peter, even though you have denied me, I still radically love you. If you read in John chapter 21, you see this reunion with Jesus and Peter. And we see this account where Jesus comes to Peter and calls him from the fishing boat. And he asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And all three times, Peter responds, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And we see here that what Peter is truly understanding is that even though he denied Jesus three times, Jesus is there saying, "Peter, I still love you, and I still want to be able to use you." You know, Peter was told by Jesus that his faith was going to be tested, and it truly was. And this is the important thing about understanding what genuine faith looks like. It's not that we will not fall sometimes, but it's the fact that when we fall, we're willing to say, "Jesus, I have fallen. Will you help me get up?" And we reach out that hand to Jesus and we say, "Please lift me up again." And this is the assurance that we have that every time that we fall, when we lift our hand, Jesus will pull us up. And this is what Peter needed to know, that even though he had denied Christ, he was still unconditionally loved by him. And it's amazing that here is this one who failed Jesus and denied him, but he got up and he still believed. And what's amazing is that shortly after, Peter is the one who has this newfound boldness that goes in front of the crowd of those who killed Jesus and tells them, "Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who you have to believe in to receive eternal life." And he's willing to stand and proclaim that Jesus is the way. We read in Peter's epistle about this transformation that takes place when Peter was willing to experience God's love. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if indeed be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being made much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen your love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And later on, Peter says this in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And as Peter had his faith tested, and he comes to the place where he still has this faith in Christ, even though he has disappointed Christ, he knows that his love will overcome his sins and that he can still be useful for the kingdom of God. And maybe you're here today and you've been to the place where you've given your life to Christ, but you feel like, I have failed you. I've denied you. I'm no service anymore. I want you to understand that God loves you and can still use you. And if you will come today and receive that forgiveness, that God will empower you to be a benefit to his kingdom. The third person I want us to look today is the Roman centurion. And we see in Mark chapter 15, a few verses about him. And we see that this Roman centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. And we can imagine maybe what his day was like, as possibly he was there for the beating of Jesus. And perhaps he was one of those who spit on him and mocked him and slapped him or hit him. Maybe he was one who was at the cross who ended up casting lots for his clothes. Maybe he was the one who placed the crown of thorns on his head and mocked him and said, "Oh, you're so great. If you're the king of the Jews, why don't you do something?" He was most likely one of the ones there who actually hammered the nail into Jesus' hands, or had possibly put the spear in his side. He literally had the blood of Christ on him, most likely. And it's at this time when he's there and he's witnessing Jesus at the cross that he begins to understand the true nature of who Christ is. He hears him talk about giving forgiveness to those who have hurt him. He sees the compassion as he sees the other two thieves on the cross, and he gives the one forgiveness who asked for it and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And he's there when he sees Jesus take his last breath, and that he died not for himself, but for others. And his exclamation is, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And you know, there's something powerful when we understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Savior, that he is God in flesh, and that the reason he came was because we are sinners. And because of that, the wages of sin is death. And we understand that Jesus took our place. In fact, we are all like the Roman centurion, because we're all responsible for the crucifixion of Christ, because it is our sin that caused Jesus to go to the cross. Listen to what 1 Peter 3:18 says. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." And so Jesus, being innocent, being perfect, died the just for the unjust. It was our sin that caused Jesus to go to the cross, but he willingly did that and took our place. And he rose again 3 days later that we may have life. And here's this Roman centurion who found forgiveness and found life because he came to the place that he was willing to look at Jesus on the cross and see that he was the Savior and met the unconditional love that was offered to him. And maybe you're here today and you've just outwardly been disobeying God. You've never entertained the thought of following God or following Jesus. You've mocked him. You spit upon him. You've profaned him. But today you're looking at the cross and you see the Savior and you see Jesus' eyes and you see that even though you have sinned and rebelled, that he still loves you. And he offers you this eternal life as a gift. And there's nothing that you can do to be able to earn it. Just like the thief that was on the cross. All he could do was say, forgive me. And Jesus says, listen, today you'll be with me in paradise. And today, if you want to receive the gift of salvation, and you're like that centurion, you realize you've done wrong, and you're willing to admit that you've sinned, but that you believe that Jesus died in your place and 3 days later he rose again from the dead to give you life, then I want you to understand that you can receive him today. Or maybe you're like Peter, and maybe you're a Christian here today, and maybe you realize that you have done some things, even as a Christian, that has been displeasing to God, that's even denied him in the way of your lifestyle and your words. And you thought that somehow that those sins couldn't be forgiven, or you've been living that way, and today you just want to come and say, God, I'm ready to be restored. I'm ready to come and to make things right again. I know I'm saved, but I just want to let you know, yes, I love you because I know you have never stopped loving me and I'm ready to be useful for your kingdom again. Or maybe you're like Pilate and you've just never made a decision. It's not that you don't come to the place where you say, I hate God. It's just I also like the world. And today you just need to decide and you need to choose life. Choose to follow Christ. You know, there was an old couple that loved each other, and they had a special relationship as they grew elderly. And their children and their grandchildren would see them all the time holding hands, giving each other a kiss. When no one was looking, he would give her a little pat on her bottom, and he would just let her know all the time, you know what? I'm so glad I chose you to be my spouse. They used to play a game that was called Smiley, S-H-M-I-L-Y, and they would write that word and then they would hide it in different places so that when that person would find that little piece of paper, they knew they were being thought about. The children and the grandchildren saw them playing this game, but they never understood what it meant. There were times when the lady would go open up the sugar jar and there would be that little piece of paper and she would open it up and it would say, Smiley. There would be times when the grandfather would open up his visor and out would come a piece of paper and it would say, Smiley. There was a time when he was actually sitting in the restroom and he was undoing the toilet paper and one day he saw the word, Smiley, written on the toilet paper. But one day, this lady got cancer. And although they prayed that she would be healed, God chose to take her home. And this man was greatly saddened. And when they had the funeral, they were there standing at the casket, and there was a ribbon that was across the casket, and on it was written the word Smiley. The family was there for the funeral, and at the end they wanted to give their grandfather and father some time to be able to go say goodbye to his wife. And so as he walked up to the casket, he began to sing a little song. And in that song, he revealed what Smiley meant. And it meant, see how much I love you. And every day, this couple would do something just to show one another how much they loved one another. Well, you know, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ doesn't just say, I love you. Christ demonstrated that he loved us because he went to the cross and he died for us. And that's a radical amount of love for someone to be willing to die so that you can live. And I want you to understand that Jesus loves you. And if you have never come to that place where you've given your life to Jesus, would you choose to do that today? Would you join me in a time of prayer? Lord, I just pray that as we reflect upon the message of the cross this morning, that if there's someone here who feels like they have just been so radically disobedient and rebellious, Lord, that they would understand there was a Roman centurion who was there who was responsible for the nails going into his hand. Lord, who maybe put thorns and stabbed him with a spear. And yet, Lord, when he saw the eyes of Jesus, he heard, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." There was mercy and grace extended. There was love offered. And Lord, I just pray for the person who is thinking and understanding for the first time, Lord, that yes, their sin can be forgiven. That today they would, as all of us who have come to become Christians have learned, that we have to admit that we're sinners. That we have disobeyed and we've rebelled, but Jesus, we believe you died and that you rose again. And right now they would just say, "Jesus, I admit I have sinned against you and I have disobeyed and I am sorry. And Lord, I believe that you died for me and that you shed your blood so I could be forgiven and that you went to the cross to pay my penalty in full. And 3 days later, you rose again from the dead and I'm ready to live for you. You are the Son of God and because of that, I'm ready to follow." And Lord, I pray for the person who's like Pilate today, who hasn't made a decision. Lord, I just pray that they would understand that you love them, but if they don't make a decision, they'll remain in their sins. And they will face eternal punishment for that. So I pray today that you would help them to make that decision for you and place their faith in you, Jesus. And I pray for us who are like Peter, who times, Lord, try to live this Christian life in our own strength and we fail, that today we would realize that, Lord, that we're not a failure if we'll lift our hand again and say, "Jesus, lift us up." And Lord, we reach that hand and we believe that you're going to restore and renew. And Lord, that you're going to use many today who have been defeated and now are full of faith and receiving your love. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.